Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
Good morning. God has a word for you. It's not me. He has a word for you. Amen? You came here to hear from Him and to recognize His voice over your life. How many were a part of last week online with us? How many were watching? Okay. I missed a few of you because I could look at the numbers and I knew some of you were probably, I don't know, hanging out on the beach, doing something else. But I really wanted sleeping, especially our team. The logistics team has that excuse. The production team has that excuse. You guys could sleep in. Really want to encourage you to go back at it. If you have not watched, Pastor Parker from South Church has brought an amazing, powerful message. I loved how I had the privilege of kicking off the series that we're in, the Renew series that we as a church are in right now. And the word that God gave me that week, four weeks ago, it was on John 15, which kind of connected to what he says. The latter part of his message was on John 15 and really abiding in the presence of God and really getting to a place where we truly know Jesus, not simply know about Jesus. And this is the invitation of this season. I just don't want you to simply know about Jesus. God is inviting us for a deeper knowledge of who He is in the season. And let me tell you, we need that. Because we are living in the midst of challenging times. Would you agree? Whenever I know that I'm speaking, and I want to thank our leadership, Pastor Sean, Pastor Michelle, for trusting me with this privilege, I have different weeks. My week look very different in preparation. There are some weeks that I feel like in the beginning of the week, by Monday, Tuesday, I kind of have a good idea what I'm going to speak on. I felt this week I was kind of like wrestling, going back and forth. And it wasn't until like Thursday nights that I really, okay, this is what God wants to speak this week. But since Monday, I've been meditating on this passage of James 4. And let me tell you, if you read the book of James, James 4 is not probably the message, a nice little message for you to encourage someone. It is a hard word that he comes and brings. But he brings that word in the context of the church in Jerusalem, and he's equipping the church in the midst of challenging times. Which I could say that we are living in challenging times. Raise a kid nowadays, allowing them to go through the school system. Praise God for Kingdom Culture Academy. Hopefully we'll have a hub that will prepare and protect. I say that's coming out of, when I was in grade 8, I switched to a Christian school that my church back in Brazil was starting, and that was life-changing. The first thing that I did, I was 12, 13 years old. The school called in Daniel's fast, 21 days fast. The cafeteria changed, everything changed. And we did a fast. Of course, they had the option. They didn't force the students to do the Daniel's fast. They had options for people to eat meats and other the school little things. But I decided to jump in with that initiative. And I remember my life was changed during those 21 days. So I know the benefit and power of having an academy and education, because we are living in challenging times. But I want to bring you into my process of this week in message prepping, and beginning by reading this 8 verses of James chapter 4. So it will be on the screen. You can follow along. And if you have your Bibles, which is rarely these days that people bring physical Bibles to the church, but I see a few. I love that. I'm not even reading from a physical Bible, so I cannot shame you guys. But it is the same word. It's just digital. But I did read out of my physical Bible this week, so I can say that. Okay, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights amongst you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. I mean, I know it's not, yay, super excited. You guys are not. This is an amazing word. But it is. I was thinking about that passage, meditating through different sections of it. I like reading my Bible in Portuguese too. As most of you know, Brazilian Portuguese is my first language, so it helps my understanding and just to go deeper. And the beginning verses, instead of using the words, of course, quarrels and fights, he used the word confusion. And I believe, like I just said before, there's some confusion in the air. People are confused about their identity. And it is a fight. And the problem is that we as a church most times are just waiting and just watching what's going on. And I question how much are we doing that we need to be doing in these times to position ourselves the way that God has for us. Because it's going to require positioning. It's going to require action. This passage speaks about action, about the action of asking in the presence of God, the action about drawing near, about submitting ourselves. All these things are actions. And in confusing, I have a 6-year-old at home, like Liz was using the example, and I've seen a little bit of even the expressions that he comes back from the school. But there's one recent, you guys know last year it began the whole thing of like 6-7, this whole thing, and I heard this term called, that I had no clue what it meant, called aura farming. Aura farming is internet slang for deliberately performing actions to look cool, charismatic, or impressive. That's your definition, because I had no clue what it meant. So in light of that, I was thinking, man, it's messed up. So 2 weeks ago, I was tracking the news in São Paulo, and I came around this network that was doing a clip on this whole concept of aura farming. Now, I don't have it in English, but there are subtitles, so pay attention at your screen at this first video. I'll show you 2 videos.
São os campeonatos de farmar aura, conforme a gente falou.
É, essa é uma expressão que nasceu no universo dos games, saiu das telas. E farmar aura é quando você arrasa em alguma coisa, aí eles já fazem o 6-7.
Gente, tá tudo bem por aqui? O que vocês estão fazendo?
Vamos, vamos, vamos!
Quem ficou perdida com esses vídeos? Farmar aura. Tá no dicionário, será? Na internet? Pra entender bem, o Domingo Espetacular mergulhou num campeonato de farmar aura. É, você não vai acreditar no que deu. Mas espera aí que eu já te mostro.
I don't know about you, but that's really messed up. That they have championships and kids are just doing this crazy things. And I saw at least in 4 different states of Brazil those competitions going on. And I find it disturbing. Now, watch the second clip of this other guy.
Oh. Irmão, sabe? Deixa eu falar pra você, você acha que é melhor pedir ou roubar?
É melhor pedir.
Pedir? Então passa o celular aí.
Tá falando sério?
Tô falando sério. Você sabe farmar aura?
Sei não.
Sabe não?
Não.
Farma um pouquinho aí, senão eu vou levar a parada, Joe.
Pode levar,
não. Não sabe farmar?
Não sei.
Então chega aí, vamos tirar uma foto aqui. Chega aí. É zoeira, eu gravo os vídeos pra net.
Tranquilo. Você conhece Jesus Cristo?
Conheço.
Você já entregou sua vida a ele?
Não, ainda não.
Ah, deveria. Isso é farmar a aura.
Não, falou
tudo. I love how he answered to that prank. You know, he really gave a good, better definition to what aura farming is, you know? And God really caught that guy off guard. He wasn't expecting. But I think that what he did, that kid did, is what the church is called to do. In the midst of the times that we are in right now, we need to position ourselves. You know, the guy was just making pranks so that he could leverage more, farm more likes, farm more subscribers to his page. But the reality is that that guy had one opportunity and he could say anything and he decided to point to Jesus. This generation needs revival. And we are part of that answer. It's on us. The reason why some of the struggles that we're living today is because for too long the church lived inside a bubble and said, I'm not getting contained with the world. And so all these movements, LGBT, whatever things, they begin forming people, sending them to the best universities and say, hey, we're going to put these guys in top and in positions of influence so that they can influence laws and change things. So the church lost ground in this last season. And if we really want to talk about renewal, God is calling us to position ourselves and to open our eyes and to remove maybe eyes from our circumstances, because many times the reason why we are stuck in places is because we are looking too much here, inside our own problems. But I do know, and I truly believe what happened this morning during worship, it is a word that God has for today, for the church. I really could feel this wave of tiredness in the room, or even I know that a lot of people are sick during these times, but I really believe there is a breaking coming. Who wants renewal here today? Amen. So I have a word for you, and the word that I heard from God for this week was keep on. Keep on. And I left fill in the blank because for some of you in this room, maybe keep on believing. Keep us trusting. Keep us going. Keep on going. And what keep on really means is to continue doing an action and to persist without stopping. One thing about the generation that we live on, because there's so many distractions, that we begin doing a task, a notification pops on our phone, and when we look, we already lost 20 minutes on social media scrolling through our phones, and we are distracted. And we lose the ability to focus. And I came around this other passage in Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus, even on the Bible, the titles, you know how like different passages of Jesus go talk about like the multiplication of the fish. This little passage is called an effective prayer. And it's right after Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples. And it's Matthew 7, verse 7. It said, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For whoever who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him. And I really, when I was reading this passage, these three terms got on my mind. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It's just not knock once, ask once. I know that some of the other versions said, ask and you shall receive. But I really love how it got translated here. It's a persistent action of asking, a persistent seeking, a persistent knocking. And I know that sometimes we are tired because it felt like in the last season, we were asking, we were seeking, and nothing was taking place. Well, I want to give you a word of wisdom. Keep on asking. Keep on. Because until the Lord says otherwise, keep on. We have this concept of waiting on God. I'm just going to be here passive, waiting on His presence. The best way is that waiting is defined you as a waiter that will go at the Lord's table and saying, God, what do you want? How can I serve you? Hey, do you need anything? Here am I knocking again. This is active waiting on His presence. So let's dive in deep here. I promise it won't be long. I know we started late the message, so I'll try to finish on time, especially to honor our kids as well. Number one, keep on asking. What's the meaning of asking? I know it's, but in the Strong's translation there, to ask is to beg, to call for, to crave, to desire, to require. Asking admits dependence. The problem is that our pride says, I'll figure things out. I know we approach that with a lot of things, like you buy a new piece of gear, you're not reading the manual. I remember when I sold my first car to a friend of mine, he actually read, he's the first person that I know that read the entire car manual, and he was like finding all these features about the car that I never knew existed. Because what? He read the instructions. That's the same for us. We have the best instructions, right? Even like that old song, I don't know if you guys remember a Christian song, Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. So, old song. I'm old. Anyways, our pride says many times, I'll figure it out. But our faith says, I need God into this process. Asking is powerful. It's actually one of the things that I love the most about Pastor Sean. If you've been around with him in conversation, he always asks the hardest questions. He always has good questions that make you think. Or like you are thinking all these things, and then he asks you a question that actually makes you reevaluate the whole process again. And it's good, because that's the power that questions have. And even like me this week, I was like wrestling through this passage of James 4. It's a good word, but it's a hard word. I was thinking, is that word good to the church this season? But then I said, God, I'm asking the wrong question. I shouldn't be asking if that word is a good word to the church. Is it a good word for the church in this time? And it is a good word for the church. We need that awakening. If we're talking about renewal, I hope that the renewal series doesn't really stop in, I don't know, 8-10 different messages that we're going to have across the summer. My prayer is that it turns into a lifestyle that we embrace. And I was thinking about questions. Do you know what's the first question that appears in the Bible? Have you ever thought about it? That's a good one. Most people think it's the first question. It is actually the first question that God asks in the Bible. But the first one is on Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other animals in the wild. And he said to the woman, did God really say? And then it's going to go on in the rest of the verse. And many times in our lives, when we come through hard seasons, Do you know what the first question that most times pops in their head is? Did God really say that? Did God really bring me here? So, principle is that maybe the first question that ever pops in your life is not the best question. And we should go to the second question that we see in the Bible, which is, where are you? After Adam and Eve committed sin, God is asking, where are you? And it had nothing to do with a physical location. It was their heart's positioning. Where are you? And if you, it seems like an obvious question that God knew the answer. But that's how it is. But a simple question made Adam realize what he had done. And the same thing, if you see Jesus, when he was healing people, he would ask, what do you want me to do? Like to the blind man, duh. Right? Seemed like an obvious question. But the guy was a beggar, so he could be just asking for money. If he wanted money, maybe he would have left with money, with a generosity. But God was saying, no, I want to see. God is looking for what are you answering and engaging in those questions. Questions have a powerful way to review things in our lives. So we should train to ask good questions. There is and most of you probably know, Craig Rochelle is an amazing leadership podcast. I love hearing to it. And two of my favorite episodes is actually about questions. You guys can listen. One is episode 162, Great Questions That Leaders Ask, and the 172, Unlocking the Power of Great Questions. We all need to practice that in our lives. Most times I'm more quiet, the listener, but I feel like God is asking me in this season to ask more questions. Because we have this ability of uncovering things. He says this, remember the quality of the questions you ask determine the quality of the information you get. The same truth applies to God. Many times we're complaining about our prayer lives because we're not achieving much. But have you stopped to look at your prayers? Many times we are praying for things that we already have. But we're not going deeper. And if we don't go deeper, we're not going to achieve deeper results. It's like, let's address another thing in our society nowadays, AI. Most people use it as Google 2.0, as just like a search, amazing, like teach me how to fix this thing. We bought a new projection computer for the church, and I was trying to figure out, like, something wasn't backing up to the new projection. And I went through a conversation with AI to figure out the problem, and we solved the problem. But most people are just asking an open-end question, and they're going to get a response of a machine. But if your question is truly well-made, which they call like a good prompt, that has aim, that has an author, like act as somebody, has an input, and then has a mission, you will achieve a good answer. This is the same thing. The quality of the questions you ask determine the quality of the information you will get with God. The quality of the prayers that you are praying will determine how you advance in your prayer life. And God is inviting us to really, because otherwise, you say, I don't want to go into a prayer time. Because maybe your perspective of a prayer time is a prayer time that is boring. When life with God is never meant to be boring. But I heard this pastor once say to me, like, if you are going through a season where your life with God feels boring, why don't you tell him that? Why don't you admit to him that he knows that those thoughts that is going on in your hearts, and ask him to move and ask him to take you deeper in the season? Because what's the result? Matthew 7:8, for everyone who asks receives. But going back to James, we see two reasons why people are not receiving answers. Either Because they're not asking. And number two, because they're just asking to fulfill their own pleasures. Which what Pastor Parker brought to us last week is that once you align yourself with God and know that even your questions will be aligned. Bill Johnson once says this, God wants to renew your mind to fulfill the desires of your hearts. It's just to put you in the right place of the right perspective in the season. Number two, keep on seeking. The meaning of seeking, to seek literally or figuratively, especially to worship God, or in a bent sense, to plot against life, be, go about it, to desire, to endeavor, to inquire for, to require. Seeking requires pursuits. Many people are just asking once, and we give up. Oh, I pray that. And in this season, I got to tell, like, I've been there. We were going through, as you saw on Vision Sunday, we have many new initiatives in the house. And there's more things happening. And I'm just to bring you guys into the process. I'm the operations director here for KC. I look over all the departments that we have in-house. I also help with reestablishing a new safe culture program for our kids. Every team member that serves, they go through a series of process of police checks, all these things. I also lead all the media and design. And I was looking at everything that was on my plate. I was like, okay, I need to do something and to better take care, because I just have this limited time. Everybody in this room here has the same amount of time, okay? There's nobody here has more hours in a day here than anybody else, unless you're traveling, I guess, against to a different time zone. But anyways, that's too complex. But we all have the same amount of time. That's the facts. That's facts. And I've been in the, like, finding some solutions, and we built this new system for our prayer initiative. And it was me digging into some AI solutions for the church. Not because we don't prep our messages here through AI, okay? Just letting you guys know. No. God knows everything that goes on here. It's like, it's in prayer. It's creating with him. It is searching his hearts. But what I'm saying is that spark of curiosity that I had on AI, it actually brought to me, I felt, in a good way, confronted by God. Says, hey, I am the source of all wisdom, of all knowledge. I am better than any machine human has ever invented. How much are you digging in and doing better prompts in my presence, asking better questions, seeking me more? And honestly, we limit ourselves, because our God, what is your limitation? Maybe nowadays, maybe it's your bank accounts. He owns all the silver and all the gold. What's your limitation? Sickness? Heaven, there's no place for any sickness. Whatever your limitation is, God is more powerful. His name is greater. His name is power. The problem is that so many times we forget to walk like we are sons and daughters of the living God, of the most powerful God. The God has unlimited resources. He can answer anything. He gave us access to the mind of Christ. But let me tell you, only access the things you ask for. Because he's gentle. And the word that we saw here, James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It didn't say God will draw near to you and then you will draw near to God. No. He already gave the invitation. He opened the door of salvation. But now it's time for you to enter in and seek his face. The problem is that we live our Christian lives only feeding ourselves from a Sunday, from the amazing words Pastor Sean brings here, and we forget to seek him throughout the week. Or we get too busy because our agenda is compromised with all these other things that become priority. And then we complain, I'm getting tired. Of course. You're not feeding from the source. You're not, you know, my son is in this phase that every night he complains, why do I have to go to sleep? Every single night. Honestly, I said, are you going to ask me that question every day? He said, yeah. But why? Why did you guys get to sleep a little longer? Like only sleep a little later? I said, well, you see your brother, he's younger, he needs to sleep more than you. Now you need to sleep this 11 hours, otherwise you will go tired. And I said, this is the gas of our, if we don't fill up ourselves, we're going to be walking like zombies. I have to really paint pictures so that, I don't know, maybe he will get scared and decide to sleep. But I'm kidding, but many times we're like that with God. We're not refueling ourselves. We're not seeking His word. We're not seeking His presence. And then we complain, why are things not taking place? And let me tell you, seeking His face doesn't mean that all your problems are going to go away. Because God needs seasons of difficulty. He needs certain seasons in your life to bring you closer to Him so that you can rely on Him. The problem is that when we think that we can do a lot of things by ourselves and we don't need to seek anything, we can just go about our days. And let me tell you, the pressure is only going to get greater. But in His presence, we have that privilege of laying every burden on His feet, letting Him carry those things for us. But it's only if we go and what? And we seek His presence. It's like what Eric was saying here in the beginning. Like he could have decided last year not to go and do the SLA. Would he still, on August 31st, take over his dad's business? Yes. But now he will take it from a different place, knowing the authority that he carries. The power of moving in, the power of dreams, the power of praying for other people, the power of releasing a prophetic word. And you know, those things are also meant not to stay only inside the church. My pastor, when I was in a discipleship group in Brazil with him, this is what our weekly challenge was. We had to pray for 8 people every single week on the streets and give them a prophetic word or a word of knowledge. And not simply, hey, can I pray for you? And just boom. No, we actually had to give them a word. We had to fast one time a week, like pick a day. Wednesday was my day. I wasn't having any food from 7 p.m. on Tuesday until 7 p.m. on the Wednesday the next day. So these were requirements, but they kept that vein inside of me seeking God. And I felt God in other seasons where I wasn't seeking His presence, inviting me back to that place. The same way that working out once in a month won't make any difference to you. And I'm speaking to you, speaking to myself, reminding me you have to work out. Yeah. But these are the truth. Like if we're not taking care of our bodies, the temple that God gave us, we're not doing a good job being a steward of what He gave us. And I really feel this season is we need to wake up ourselves and keep on seeking. Even when it feels dry, even when it feels like you're not getting anything. I remember this one moment in my life that I came into my room after a work day in São Paulo and said, I'm going to seek the presence of God until like something happens. And I was like praying tongues for over an hour and I didn't feel anything. I was like screaming, putting loud worship on. Like I did everything that is on the Christian playbook, everything you can see in the Bible. But in one moment that I decided just to stop doing anything and just starting to receive, I felt a shift in the room. You cannot go, like if you want to stand on a river, you cannot jump in a river that has like a current. If you jump on it and you try to fight against the currents, you're not going to go anywhere. You're just going to get tired. I'm not saying that there are not moments in the presence of God that we have to do some spiritual battles, intercession. All these things are valuable. But sometimes you just need to surrender to His river, to surrender to His presence, and then watch what He can do. and it's way better to go with the currents. You find yourself with way better speed in your life. So I want to encourage you, keep on seeking. The result for those that seek the presence of God, everyone who seeks will find. You can claim this word over you. Jesus said it. It's in the Bible. It's true. If you seek his presence, you will find his presence. You will find God on the other side. And number three, keep on knocking. The meaning of knocking is to strike a surface with sharp blow, to get attention or to hit or to bump something. Well, you know what knocking really is. But the reality is that you don't knock unless you expect an action on the other side. And many people, and I've been there, stop one knock too soon. There is, if you look at the stories in the Bible, you see the blind that was Bartimaeus that I was mentioning in the beginning of the message, the widow that comes to the feet of Jesus, the woman who kept asking Jesus to heal themselves, they all kept on knocking, persisted on going after the presence of Jesus until they saw a result. I know that we all go through seasons where to even knock on another door feels tiring. If you own a business and you said, like, I don't want to go find another lead. I don't want to go do this work that I have to do. There's like a picture that I have on the, that I put on the screen. I love this meme, but it is so true. Like, we're in our lives and we are like grinding hard. But many times, the moment we stop, we're so close to our breakthrough. So close that we just simply forfeit because we stopped when God was still saying, keep going. He was still building perseverance inside my heart, perseverance inside my life. I want to encourage you, until God says otherwise, don't stop knocking. Don't stop pursuing. Finding him the strength that you need. And you know what happens as well? Many times, when we're saying, like, I am tired, when we're saying, like, this is a really tiring season for my life, many times you're complaining for something you prayed for. You're praying for that job that you have right now, and you're complaining that that's too tiring. You are praying for that relationship that you're in, the kids that you have to raise that God trusted you with, and you're saying, I'm just too tired. Many times, that's why we need to ask ourselves these questions. Like, am I complaining for something I prayed for years? If you look back at older seasons in your life that you felt were really pressure, you look back 10 years ago and say, man, that was nothing. I missed those days. They were easy days. I'm remembering like the pressures of my exams during university at Liberty and remembering like how hard, because I was under a scholarship, so I had to keep my grades above A under the honor program. So I had, like, it was part of, like, I was really, things were expensive with the Brazilian currency my parents paying for, so I really wanted to keep my GPA high. So there was that pressure. But I looked back, man, I missed those pressure days. All I did at college, university, at the end of the day, 3 p.m., we all meet the international students at the soccer field. We played for 2-3 hours. I missed those. My body would respond. I wouldn't be aching on the next day. I would go to class and I'll be fine. Easy pressure. But in the moments, those tests really felt like a hard one. But the problem is that our perspectives are so in the moments that we can't see beyond. And it's hard to keep on. And what God is saying to you is, shift, renew your perspective in the season. Look from my place and see that you can keep going on, because what's on the other side is greater, is better. Because I'm a good father, that I will not give you stones if you ask for bread. He's good. He is faithful, and we invite His faithfulness. The worship team can come back up. We're going to end here, but the answer for whoever knocks, the door will always open. But let me tell you, you may complain, oh, I have some closed doors in my life. Those are a blessing too. God didn't want you to enter certain doors because he knew that there would be destruction on the other side. Today, I want to encourage you to ask a better question. I want you to leave here this week, every time that you get in the presence of God, ask good questions. But let me tell you, the best question that we can ask ourselves today, it's in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for me in the season that I am in, nothing can stand my way. He is on the other side. He has given you all the tools that you need in this season, because He's not going to give you something that you cannot hold, that you cannot endure. So that passage means that He has given you the tools to get out of any season that you are in right now. You just need to remember to ask this question, or command this question in the air. If God is for me, who can be against me? When hard times come, if God is for me, who can be against me? When I can't see beyond the circumstances, if God is for me, who can be against me? Pray that question. And I know that, like Paul, after saying that, he said, I'm convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nor death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither fears, nor worries about tomorrow, not even powers of hell can separate me from the love of God. No power above the sky or the earth below, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ. Amen? Why don't you stand?